Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship here at First Baptist of Ann Arbor. We're glad to have everyone gathered here in the sanctuary and also glad to have those of you who are joining us online today. There are several announcements in your bulletin, but I'd like to give you a highlight of a few of those. First, this morning, we welcome Lindsay Kalka, who is the director of Ground Cover Magazine, and also Pony Bush, and they will be giving us a word at our time for mission. So welcome to you, and thank you for the good work that you do. And Lindsay will also be providing our formation time after worship today. There will be no youth group or children's choir today, but if you are staying for second hour, you may bring your children to the play space. Please find in your bulletins today the connection card to let us know that you were here. Please fill that out and you can place that in the collection plate. There are prayer cards in your pew. If you have a prayer request, you can fill that out and then give it to the ushers during the first hymn. And please remember our online photo directory if you have not uploaded your picture yet. To help our new pastor get to know all of us, please make sure that you do so. And speaking of our new pastor, and isn't it fun to be able to say our new pastor? I had some communication with Pastor Laura this week, and she wanted to pass on to all of you that she and her family have found a house here in Ann Arbor, and they plan to move to town in mid-June, and they're very excited to spend a couple of weeks unpacking and exploring town before Pastor Laura begins work with us on July 1st. So we are thrilled that things are moving along well for her and her family. Let us now open our hearts, our minds, and our bodies as we welcome the Holy Spirit and worship together on this Pentecost Sunday. Let us join our hearts in worship.
Holy Spirit, bring life to this day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, let the earth spring forth. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, embolden this church. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, put fire in our hearts for worship. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Dear God, We welcome you among us today and celebrate the gifts that you have lavished upon each of us. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand if you're able. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. All living things look to you for their food, season by season. When you open your hand, life is filled with good things. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. Your spirit renews the faith of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May God delight forever in God's creations. Numbers 11, 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp.
Good morning, everyone. I'll give everyone a second to come on up. Welcome, come on, take a seat, guys. So, what is today?
Memorial Weekend.
It is that. But here at church, it's the special red day. It's Pentecost. Yes. Today is the day that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. That God is with us, even though Jesus no longer lives on earth. I know. And so today, we are going to learn a new song that we're going to sing together when you guys come up for time as children. You guys ready for that? So pass out, and you guys can look at the words while we talk about them and learn them. So, the song begins by saying that when all of us gather, we bring our sweet spirits, and we see it on each other's faces. We know that God is with us when we look at your face and your face. Faces. And everyone's faces out there. You see everyone's faces out there? Why don't we all make a happy face or a silly face? Ready? 3, 2, 1. Those are some good faces. I like them. In the second part of our song, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and to fill us up with love. Can you guys do that with me? Go, fill with love. Yes, so good. And then the song ends with saying that after we have been here together, after we have been filled with love from one another and from the Holy Spirit, we are going to be ready to leave this place with good energy to be love in the world. Why don't we all put our hands together here in the middle, and we're gonna say, let's go. All right, is everyone ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's go! Wonderful. And that is going to help us remember to leave this place all fired up with the love of God, right? All right. And now we are all going to sing our song together. Miss Shanae is going to play, and the choir is going to lead us as we sing this song all together for the first time. Ready? Thank you. everyone. And now, everyone, we're gonna go find our classrooms.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Jay Reed. I'm the chair of the Mesh in Action Board, and so just great to have, we have been having our, this entire year, we've been having the final Sunday of the month has been our Mission Sunday. This is not the Sunday of the month, but we're switching it up just a little bit, mostly because I made a mistake, but that's okay. So I didn't, today, we're just really excited today to have Ground Cover News be with us here today, because we are each Mission Sunday, we are basically focusing on a particular mission partner that our congregation supports, and one of those mission partners that we have been supporting for quite some time, and we have a really unique connection to, is Ground Cover News. And today we have Lindsay Kalka from Ground Cover News, and she is the director and publisher of Ground Cover, and I'm going to ask Lindsay to come up, and she's also going to bring an old friend of ours, Pony Bush. Pony, why don't you come on up as well? So many of you know Pony, who is here. I think Pony's the most faithful member of First Baptist Ann Arbor, because Pony's here every week,
which is better than
many of us as well. So grateful that Pony's able to be here today. Pony is on, you're June 10th, right? You have your doctor visit, right? June 10th, it's going to be where we'll see he had a broken ankle from a biking accident here. But we wanted to hear about Pony's experience and also Lindsay's experience as well. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about, we know that our church really likes support and really is passionate about the microphone. I'm sorry. I need to get the microphone for you. Kat was very emphatic. Here we go. You'll need that. There you go. We are passionate about serving and helping those who are affected by homelessness. Obviously, Ground Cover doesn't provide shelter for them, but you are very much about empowerment. Tell us a little bit about how empowerment really helps those who are affected by homelessness.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah. It will be on.
Thank you. My name is Lindsay, and yes, it's true. Ground Cover is not. We don't provide shelter. We don't provide casework. We're not. Although we partner and work in coalition with other organizations that do that direct human service with homelessness, we do see ourselves kind of more in the arena of economic opportunity and workplace development and entrepreneurship. And I see that empowerment stretched through, and it's baked into our mission in all three parts. So our mission is to provide economic opportunity for self-determined individuals impacted by poverty, two, produce a street newspaper that uplifts marginalized voices, and three, promote an action that creates a better world. Mm. So the economic opportunity part is a spectrum. Some folks, that's an intervention with low barrier employment. So we have a lot of things baked into our policies, like vendors don't need to provide ID or social security number. The only uniform we require is the Ground Cover News badge. And then, of course, our volunteers and staff are trained to work with folks that might be in crisis or struggling with different things, exiting or living on the street. But then the other side of the spectrum is truly an opportunity to engage in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Many vendors, and I think of Pony on this side of the spectrum, have made a career out of selling Ground Cover, and that's something that we celebrate, because it is, people are able to find stability and then mm-hmm. Crank it up to the next level. Many vendors have started businesses. Mm. Our very notable vendor was Kevin Spangler, who started Boober through the capital that he got by selling Ground Cover News.
Wow.
Many vendors have published books, self-published books, started small businesses, or you know, engage in other gig work because of what Ground Cover has able to provide them as a foundation. When we think about empowerment, though, there's also the, again, with the newspaper, the idea that you can be in control of the narrative that, you know, the media or mm-hmm. society is placing upon you, that you can be the author of your story and, you know, have control over that. So, yeah, some people will write every now and then for the paper, which is, you know, I see the way that that totally enhances the experience of selling it. You're not just selling this mm-hmm. product that maybe you don't feel totally connected to, although you will know all the other writers and contributors to the paper. But when you have something in there that is this other level of, yes, this is, you know, something that I authored myself, I am in print, and you really have no idea how many people are going to read and engage with that story that you write. And then, yeah, in the act of the paper, being able to connect with people that you would maybe not ever have talked with otherwise or met otherwise. There is a social capital that comes from selling Ground Cover. You know, you might be selling and sell to the mayor or somebody who, you know, is very important or powerful under, like, again, the structure of the society that we live in. And to have that relationship and get to know that person, might, you know, pay out in dividends too in the future, or just people who know you and care about you and look out for you. Those things also contribute to empowerment.
You fit a lot into that one little that section there. That was really fantastic. I learned so much just by listening to that. I was talking to you beforehand about, I'm going to give you a chance here to talk here, but I was talking to you about, because I mean, it's really great hearing Lindsay talk about this in terms of like this broad sense, but I felt like talking to you, I was asking you about different vendors that you know about. And you mentioned specifically three different vendors, and I thought you could share a little bit about them. Cindy, Hailu, and Joe. Tell me a little bit about Cindy, Hailu, and Joe.
All right, Cindy brought me in the Ground Cover when I first came out. When I first came out of Detroit, I'm from Detroit as well. So Cindy, she put me on my. When I came out here, I was broke. I was homeless. I had nowhere to go, and she really basically got me on my feet to where I'm at today. Joe, I guess he's from Detroit too, so he's another friend, a Ground Cover. But anyway, go back to Cindy. Cindy's an artist. She's an artist and she does art and she does sells a Ground Cover. And she tries to help people out with, she tries to help people out with getting in the Ground Cover, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Stuff like that. And Joe works up in Little Roddy bookstore. Joe got a corner guy, I think. Mm-hmm. Joe works at Literary Bookstore, and I think he got a job too on the side. And I think he sells Ground Cover. He sells Ground Cover a little bit on the side, you know, to try to make ends meet. And then the Hailu works up at the food co-op. Up at the food co-op. Hailu does Uber too. So everybody does something, you know, trying to help out with the Ground Cover, trying to meet people in the community, stuff like that, you know.
And how does Ground Cover help them? How does selling papers help them?
I guess it helps them. It helps them put money in. It helps them put money in pocket. It helps them make ends meet. Helps them meet friends and meet people.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Gives a sense of pride. Gives them. Yeah, that was you were talking about that. It helps them meet people and talk to people.
Right.
That's great. So, Lindsay, one of the things that I was asking you about too was. We're talking about something very personal, something very individual, but how does this help in terms of like our community in general, Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County?
I think there's more benefit to the community than there is to the people. And I say that because I was, I got connected with Ground Cover as a customer. So I went from buying the paper to volunteering to working, you know, where I do now. And I guess just to make it personal, I had just moved here. This was 10 years ago to Ann Arbor, and Ground Cover vendors were like the people that recognized me, and I felt like I had this kind of like close relationship with people, you know, in this new place where no one knew me, and I was very like, oh my gosh, you know, a whole new world. And I think that we have lost that in not even just in Ann Arbor, right? Our world is moving more alienated, more towards the phone and to your little bubble. And to be like, to be recognized and known walking around or wherever you may be, Ground cover vendors provide that service of familiarity, of a greeting, and it could be very informal. You might not know each other's name, but there's like this recognition of knowing each other. So that for me is so important and is the foundation for social change to happen. People trusting each other, recognizing one another, knowing that you have something shared. The other piece is just, which I talked about before, is, you know, there's so many things wrong with our world. There's so many social injustices, and Ground Cover flips it that we are reporting, starting with the people that are most impacted by that, and that is just not what is happening in the rest of the our news. Generally, they'll go up top to who makes the decisions about these big problems, and you know, not get comment from them or get a comment that's very frustrating and not the whole picture or something that's dismissive. And we find that there's a lot to learn by, there's a lot of solutions to be understood and just a lot of perspectives on these things that we all know about. Homelessness, inequality, racism, food insecurity, mental illness, the carceral state, all of those things. We're trying to make change through that. You know, let's get on the record people that are impacted by these things.
So it goes. You've talked about impact, not just from an individual. In fact, you said, I think it's even more than that, right? It's like bigger than that. And I love the broad perspective that you've given to us. I'm really interested in knowing more about this. And so that's why we have an adult formation hour afterwards. Nice segue, right? Afterwards is we have the fellowship hour right downstairs where you'll see information about the Ground Cover. And our adult formation hour is going to be led by Lindsay today. And we're actually going to be digging through the paper and looking, using the paper as our kind of primarily curriculum today. So if you're interested in knowing more about that, join us afterwards. Lindsay, we're so grateful for you being here today.
Thank you,
Pony. We're grateful that you could be with us. You're part of our church family. And if you celebrate what Ground Cover is doing in the world, I just put your hands together. Thank you. Thank you.
Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Holy God, we come to worship to experience your spirit, that rushing wind that raises us up like soaring eagles, that clears and cleanses the chaos of our lives. We come to know your spirit that is as close to us as our breath, that is gentle like a summer breeze, that heals and comforts. And we come to know the fiery energy of your spirit that empowers us to do justice, to use anger for positive change, and ignites in us a passion to care for one another. Oh God, we confess that we often long for your power to destroy, like hurricane winds and wildfires. We're distraught at the wars raging in our world, at power-hungry leaders, unjust systems that oppress and decimate lives. Forgive us when our humanity leads us to lose control of the power you give. Help us to see your vision for us, to dream your dreams for our world. Fill us once again today with the power of your spirit, which is the power of relationship. We pray today for Pastor Laura and her family. May their transition to this community be smooth and joyous. We pray that you would unite us together with Laura as your called community. Guide us into new ways of using the power of your spirit, that we might be even more than we've ever been. Use us, O God, to be called community that powers and changes the lives of others. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bring healing and care to those for whom we know to pray by name. We lift up today Martin Bridgman. We lift up the family of Becky Spots. We lift up the family and friends of Archibald McClellan, the grandfather of Nick McClellan. We also pray for Pidgey Caroli, Paula Burton, John Vandervliet, Mary Margaret Hatt, Emily Wright, Erica Deals, Ed Parmentier, Catherine Carty, Marilyn McKenzie, Keith Pickleman, Marlene Francis, Roberta House, Mervyn Ukartz, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Helga Mortensen, Cindy Okarski, Greg Dubois, Keith Marr, and Beth Granberry. We pray also for those impacted by the Ebola virus, those who are suffering due to wars around this world. We lift up those who are victimized by violence in their homes and neighborhoods. We consider those today who struggle with mental illness and physical challenges, with those who deal with homelessness. And we lift up students and teachers as they wrap up this school year. Oh God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we give you great thanks for those who gave their lives for our freedoms and for their families and friends who also suffered the impact of their loss. We ask all these things in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now hear God's words to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2, 1 through 21. These words about the first day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others sneered and said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would move within our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Free us from distraction, that we might be focused on you and your call to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was 12 years old, and there I sat on the bare wooden pew in the middle of this beautiful chapel at Keuka College, in the middle of the Finger Lakes in New York State. And I had just taken communion with my new friends. And this was one of the first times I ever took communion, and definitely the first time I really understood the meaning. Kneeling at that communion table with my friends, I felt some kind of movement in my spirit, which brought up all kinds of big feelings, from laughter to tears. And as I made my way back to the pew and sat down once again, I felt this intangible, quiet moving within me. It wasn't in my gut, it wasn't exactly in my mind, but I remember it like it was yesterday. There was this call and pulling in me to dedicate my life to helping people and serving in the way that Jesus served. And that call never left me. That's where I connect with the Pentecost story as we read in Acts this morning. Scripture says that people of faith were all gathered in one place and the Spirit of God was poured out on them. At age 12, I was gathered at Keuka College with other teen girls from all around the state for the American Baptist Girls Conference week of summer camp. Now back then, I had just moved to the States from Canada, and out of nowhere, my parents decided we're churchgoers. I was having no part of any of that, not interested. I was displaced, disconnected, and becoming a teenager, very bad combo. But despite my protests about my parents' rekindled religion, connecting with church brought me to this American Baptist Girls Conference. And being part of that community of women and girls changed my life, maybe even saved my life. Now, this was a different kind of community than I had ever experienced. It was not just people of faith gathered together, not just some folks supporting teenage girls. It wasn't even just people trying to live out God's love or emulate Christ. This community was powered by the Holy Spirit that called them to this united purpose, which powered my life in a completely new direction. You know how they say when something significant happens, been there, done that, got the t-shirt? Well, amazingly, I still have that t-shirt from that American Baptist Girls Conference with a theme on the front that says, "More than a carpenter." And the power that moved that community was really in the word more. Now, maybe you've been part of a community before that is supportive and nurturing, but not exactly powering your life. A called community, though, has the power of God's Holy Spirit moving, motivating, and energizing them for a common purpose. Pentecost is a Christian tradition when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, God pouring out that Spirit on the gathered community of faith, making the community into something more. The Holy Spirit is often understood as the third person or part of our one God. And Christian theology developed the idea of Trinity: God the Creator, Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully human, and the Holy Spirit, the part of God that lives within us. I really connect with that idea of God's Holy Spirit as relationship, as community. Richard Rohr, who is a contemplative priest and teacher, in his book, The Divine Dance. Summarized 12th century mystic Richard of St. Vicar, who said, "For God to be good, God can be one. For God to be loving, God has to be two, because love is always in a relationship. But for God to share excellent joy and delight, God has to be three, because supreme happiness is when two persons share their common delight in a third something together." And Rohr goes on to say, "The ancient doctrine of the Trinity dared to affirm that God is relationship itself." That's what the experience was that I had in that community of women and girls so many years ago. These were people who lived in a relationship with God, who is relationship itself. So the Holy Spirit is God, is relationship, living in and through us. If that's the case, then those of us who have the Holy Spirit within us are necessarily part of community. And our community is powered by the Holy Spirit. This is what made that girls' camp community more. And this is what made those gathered at the first Pentecost more. In Acts, we read, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place." Now, faithful Jews back in the day were encouraged to make a pilgrimage to the Jerusalem temple to give thanks to God for the wheat harvest. Torah taught them that God required them to always leave behind some of the harvest so that those without land would always have enough. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit to a community is rooted in God's justice. Pentecost, then, is about God's justice. Pentecost is also associated with God giving Moses the Ten Commandments. This reminds us of God's guidance of how we are to live in community. So being gathered in one place on Pentecost has a much deeper meaning than just a gathering. But the Holy Spirit makes us a called community, defined by being more and rooted in the acts of justice. What if our lives were powered by a community like that? Scripture goes on to say, "And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." So the presence of God's Holy Spirit is tangible and powerful. People heard something, like the rush of a violent wind. I imagine that rolling freight train sound we sometimes hear in Michigan if a tornado is approaching. That sound filled all of the space right down to their bones. And then the gathered people saw something, like separated tongues of fire resting on each. Some kind of light or energy rested with each person, and no one was left out. This was the outward appearance of an entire community filled with the Holy Spirit. God chose to pour out God's Spirit to community. And this was not even a united community. These people were from all kinds of different backgrounds, folks who had traveled to Jerusalem, people who lived in Jerusalem, Jesus' disciples. So maybe in the same way that COVID hit us as a worldwide community, the Holy Spirit hit this diverse group, creating so much vulnerability, they now had a different bond. Now that gathered group on the first Pentecost was changed to become a called community. And that is a whole different realm of existence. In the same way that violent wind or fire changes the earth, A Holy Spirit-filled community radically changes the lives they touch. That's the power of a called community. Do we realize that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us and we are a called community? There is something different about those of us who gather from far and wide and call ourselves First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor. Imagine the power that we are given as a called community. A decade after my own Pentecost experience at the American Baptist Girls Camp, I graduated college and went off to seminary. That urge to serve people never left. Powered by that called community, I now had a sense of call to ministry. And I was aiming to maybe teach theology, work with folks with disabilities through local churches, some kind of behind-the-scenes social justice work. But partway through seminary, I was invited to participate in a group of emerging clergy women. And we were from all kinds of different backgrounds, a huge variety of ages, nationalities, languages, and perspectives. And we met every week for discussion. Truth be told, I was pretty uncomfortable with the very open and frank discussions that were had. I had that feel of a violent wind or some fire in my gut, and it was quite unsettling. But then something different happened for me. As I listened to this wide range of different voices, I resonated with their stories. I had a deep respect for these women and the spirit at work in them. I heard voices and languages from them that I understood. And not only that, I began to hear and understand my own voice. As this awkward process continued, I found my own voice that's empowered by the Spirit. And once again, my life was powered by a called community. And sure enough, been there, done that, got that t-shirt too. This one on the back says American Baptist Women in Ministry. On the front, this is what a preacher looks like. Powered by that called community too, and others, many others along the way. I went on to serve churches for 23 years. As we continue reading in Acts, we hear, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. So this called community found their voice and spoke their own way. And this is what drew the huge crowds, hearing their own native language. The Spirit of God speaks to us in ways that we can understand, ways that get our attention, sometimes very uncomfortable ways. Do we realize that this also defines us as a called community? We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in ways that others understand, to help others hear God's love and hear their own voices. In Scripture, Peter answers the skeptics hearing their own language and says, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. When the Holy Spirit lives in us, this is what we are called to be and do as a community. Every person is important. Everyone is called to use their own voice to create this called community. A called community will strive toward the dreams of God's realm on earth. They will envision a world of God's love and justice, and the next generation will give voice to the future. Richard Rohr says, "Two or more people excited about the same thing are the beginning of almost everything new, creative, and risky in this world." Surely this is what Jesus meant by his first and most basic definition of church, as two or three gathered. On this Pentecost Sunday, we remember the Holy Spirit living in us as this called community. But do we realize our power in this world? In a day which feels like so much chaos and so many things are out of control, may we know that as a called community, we power lives. A person who feels physical warmth and human hospitality coming to the warming shelter here is powered by this called community. A woman who came to our pride table and stood there in tears that a Baptist church would welcome her is powered by this called community. Those who sell ground cover in our community and feel our warmth and acceptance are powered by this called community. A young man who grew up here and was able to safely raise questions of faith, then went on to use his God-given talents, is powered by this called community. A college student who felt the touch of home here and went on to complete their degree is powered by this called community. There are too many lives to count, too many stories to share. But when we open our lives and our hearts to God's Holy Spirit, we become more than just a gathered people. We speak the language others need to hear. And now, as a called community, we are about to embark on a new chapter as we welcome a new pastor and her family in several weeks. In what ways will we be a called community, powering the lives of those around us? Author Annie Dillard writes, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? We should all be wearing crash helmets to church. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." I know that all of us have been powered by this called community, and we know what it is to pass it on to others. We have been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. And our t-shirt reads, "Love over hate, love over indifference, love over difference, love over barriers, love over borders, love over fear, love over ego, love over and over again." We are already a called community as we embody the Holy Spirit that is like the rush of a violent wind and tongues of fire. We are a called community when we find our voices and help others find theirs. We are a called community when our worship and our actions promote justice. We are a called community when we envision the future and dream God's dreams. We are a called community when we love over and over and over again. This next chapter for us is already full of ways that we will ensure others are powered by this called community. As we go into our lives this week, may we too be powered by this called community. Amen. One of the ways that God calls us to love and do justice is by giving of those gifts that we've been given. Let us now generously give our gifts to God.
Thank you.
Almighty God, giver of all good gifts, we thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Move within us and motivate us to give freely to you. Take and use our gifts that we give to you today and multiply them, that your justice and love might go out through us into this community. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things that we do as a called community is offer the peace of Christ to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. As God's called community, let us go out from this place to be more, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let us go out from this place finding our own voice and helping others to find theirs as well. And may we go out from this place to love over and over again. And now may the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the grace of God go with us. Amen. Thank you.